Okay, first of all, thank you very much to Rebison Pfeiffer for asking me to speak. It's an honor because I've always had a very special place in my heart for this wonderful Midrash at Masorah, which unfortunately is amazing on this campus. And it would be nice if there was a Midrash at Masorah on the boys' campus as well. But it's an amazing thing that you're taking time out of your very busy, entire, full day to learn Torah. So I was only asked just while I was, unfortunately, had to babysit my kids all day today, which my wife thinks isn't babysitting, but it is. And it's good, it feels good. So I wanted to give you a very short message. For the record, she's my daughter. I don't just do that to everyone. So I wanted to take a message that I might need to do this. So I want to take a message that I feel, and I apologize, some of you might have heard this idea already, because I know that it's very famous. But to me, it is kind of the point of, I don't want to be too dramatic, but a point of your existence and possibly why you've chosen to be in Camp Masorah this summer. And again, I apologize, but I'll say it over in a different way as I like to do. But it's a famous medrash, often quoted as a Gemara, and it's not a Gemara. It's actually in the Ein Yaakov, which is a commentary on all of the Agadic material in Gemara. And it's a beautiful idea, a beautiful mimer. And again, it's definitely worth repeating. Ben Zoma says, Matzina Pasuk HaKolelis Yoser. What is the Pasuk of the Torah? If I were to pick the Pasuk that defines who we are as the Jewish people, we can go around the table. If you heard this already, you can't give the answer. But what would you think if I were to pick one Pasuk and say, this is the Pasuk that defines the Jewish people? What would you guess?
Shema.
Shema. Somebody read the Gemara. Yeah, it's not a Gemara. Shema. Shema Yisrael would definitely be up on there, right? Shema Yisrael is that voice that you hear. Baruch Hashem, I have this chus of having a child whose name is Yonatan Roy. His name for Roy Klein. So Roy Klein was a soldier, a religious soldier who was a commander, and he jumped on a grenade to save the lives of many, many other Jews. And many of the people were in that pluga were not religious. And they said in their lives they never heard such a Shema Yisrael. He jumped on the grain and said Shema Yisrael. That's what we picture. So that's correct. And that is what Ben Zoma says. And he says, the Pasuk HaKolelis that defines the whole Torah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Excellent. Any other examples, possibilities?
What?
I don't know. I feel like you have an answer. I would think that there would be another one that would definitely rank up there. Especially, I don't know why. I would think girls would definitely say this one. Boys like don't really care so much about this pasuk, but no, nobody. I would think v'hafla recha kamocha, right? Yes. Right, guys don't care about that, but yeah, but I think they don't. Ben nanos omer matzino pasuk hakoles yosef v'hafla recha kamocha. It's a good fight. I'm ready to. That's a good fight. I'm not sure who's going to win here, right? Shema Yisrael, pretty good. V'hafla recha kamocha, okay. And then Nebuch. Comes Shimon ben Pazi, Omer, Matzira Apostle Kolos Yoser, Vuhu, Esakev Zachata Seber Raboker. We'll read in a few weeks from now, Parshas Pinchas, talking about the Korban HaTamid. You know, that's like the sleepy answer, okay, you know, thank you, Ben Pazi, you know, please exit stage left. However, Amad Rav Ploni Al Raglov, the Omer, Halacha Ki Ben Pazi. So it ends off the Ein Yaakov and says, you know who's right? Not Shema Yisrael, not the Hafta Recha Kamocha. You know what the Pasuk of the Torah is that defines us as Jewish people? It is Zaker Zachat HaSeinu Ben Raboker. Very, very strange. Why? So it stops there, the Ein Yaakov. So there's a famous piece in the Maharal. The Maharal in the Siva Sa'olam says the following. Masha Amru Ben Pazi Zaker Zachat HaSeinu Ben Raboker Behu Kolol Godol Batorah Yoser, from any other pasuk, it's so important. Basically, all we're talking about is bringing a korban every day. The korban tamid was brought day in, day out. Big deal. Ratzel omar, masha adam oved Hashem yizbarach. Somebody who serves God, bitzimidus, always. Hagomer v'chu avdo, he's considered to be an eved. K'mosha eved lo sar avdaso min ha'adon. When you are an eved, you service your master. You don't say one day, it's a star day, so I'm taking off today. You can't say that when you're an eved, right? Only at Camp Masara. Yeah? Or is it, I have a cough, I need some Snapple, I can't work today, right? My pinky's hurting, sorry, you know, I can't work. An eved can do that. A true eved is, he says, he knows exactly what he has to do. From day in, day out, that's what he does. And he says, that's what we do. Someone who says this every single day, says the Maharal, Zen Ne'amar Korban Tambad, Shachar Ve'erev, Dabrazah Kolil Batorah. Because that is our point of defining who we are. And let me try to explain what I think is going on. Shema Yisrael and Bahasta Recha Kamocha are very great and wonderful, what I call one-liners, right? Shema Yisrael is a very high level. The Rambam speaks about how we mekadesh Shem Hashem. And we know the highest level of being mekadesh Shem Hashem seemingly would be to die, unfortunately, al kiddush Hashem. And we know many stories in the Holocaust, and we know many stories about amazing soldiers, and it's unbelievable. But Rav Aaron Soloveitchik points out that the Rambam speaks a lot more about another inyan of being mekadesh Shem Hashem, and that's called v'chai b'hem, and that's living your life, a regular life. That's about going to, your day off and wherever you're going to be going, and people coming up to you and saying, "What's wrong with you?" You say, "Excuse me?" Like, "No, you're just so friendly and thank you and please and all these different things, and you didn't slam the door and made like," and you say, "Oh, we're Orthodox Jews. That's the way we act." Boom, Kiddush Hashem. And unfortunately, we're too aware, maybe on another campus, of what a Chil Hashem is, right? Going to Hoppies, we've had the Hoppies experience. Those that haven't gone to Hoppies yet, maybe it's better you don't. But it's kosher, apparently. And just like apparently the popcorn was today, they serve popcorn at the movie that one of my children went to. I'm not sure why. They said it was under the OU of Norwich. Anyway, so why? But that's a one-time thing. To live your life al Kiddush Hashem is awesome, is amazing. We have Shema Yisrael experiences. We have Haftarecha Kamocha experiences in our life where we do one thing and we feel like amazing about ourselves. Oh my God, there was this old lady and I helped her with her packages. I'm amazing. And that's great. And don't get me wrong. But that's not day in, day out living. That's just a really cool thing. I'll tell you a story. When I work in Yeshiva Leif HaTorah, as similar to my work here in Misora for free, I don't really get paid for it. Which is why my daughter's canteen card has so much money on it. And but I used to do recruiting for the yeshiva. So I had a student who came, he was sitting in my office, I was interviewing him, and he says, "Rabbi, I don't think this yeshiva is for me." I said, "How come?" So, and I would be like, we weren't accepting you anyway, but okay. He says, "Why?" He says, "Well, I see that you have a lot of like, cool things like tishes and onegs and singing and all these different things." And he goes, "Those are just blips on a screen. Those are like one-time events of inspiration, but that's not what my year in Israel is about. Like, I want the real thing." And I said to him, "I'll be honest with you, I don't know if this yeshiva is for you, but I will tell you that your problem is that you don't know how to do something called connect the dots. You see, you have to have that inspiring experience and then maybe share it with somebody else. And then we say, well, how do I make that part of my life? How do I make part of my life that, yes, that is part of my life? I do like tishas and onyx. How do I make sure I go to that? I like shirim. I like to..." It's timidus. It's someone who does day in and day out and saying, "I'm going to do this." And you know what? There are some mornings you're going to wake up and that annoying voice is going to get on. "Oh, welcome, Guilford, New York. The weather today is..." And I'm like, "Oh, God, please. I just want to sleep in. I don't want to do a Avodah Hashem." But to me, just says you have to do it day in and day out. And being the most inspirational role model, whatever you're in, if you're a counselor or your specialty, whatever it might be, is about that. It's showing other people, no, this is the regular me. This is me day in, day out. Right? And don't get me wrong, I'm sure it's amazing Thursday nights. You sit and you sing and you have, and that's great. But do you take it with you in your daily life? There was an amazing letter that was written to Rav Henkin, Rav Hutner in Pachat Yitzchak. It was about a student. Rav Hutner was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin, and it was a student who was sitting and learning Torah for many years. And the Rosh Yeshiva said to him, "All right, it's time to get a job. It's time to be real." And he writes a letter to his Rebbe and he says, "What's going on here? Why did you tell me to get a job? I'm living a double life." He says, "Because there's, let's call the guy Daniel. There's Daniel who goes to davening in the morning and learns a little Daf Yomi, and then there's Daniel at work, and he's totally different. There's the work Daniel and there's the home Daniel, and they're two different people." And Rav Hutner answers and kind of goes to school on him and says, "That's not called a double life, that's called a broad life. You're supposed to go to work, you're supposed to have a job, you're supposed to be a Tumid Jew, you're supposed to bring a Korban every day, but the question is, what do you do at work?" I once interviewed for a company where my friend was a very important individual, and somebody told me, "How do you know so-and-so?" I said, "Well, actually, he's a friend of mine from the community," and so on and so forth. He goes, "I bet you he's not who you think he is. Here in the office, he's a tyrant. He's horrible. He's the worst boss ever. You don't want to work for him." I couldn't believe it. It was two different people. But it's not a double life, right? It's what we call a broad life. Hashem wants us to be real people. I give a lot of credit to people who do amazing things with their summer. And it's amazing that people are able to go to house and able to do that, right? And it's amazing people do these key things. But this, what you're doing here, this is tumid. This is the real work. This is how you're able to inspire people, because they look at you and go, "Wait a minute, that's weird. You're normal. You're a normal person." Not everyone, but you're normal, basically. "That's weird. You went to the same high school that I went to? Wow. How do I take that with me?" And it's amazing how somebody's life can be changed. Just tell you a great story. My year after, I don't know, how many people have anybody been to Israel for the year yet? Right? Oh wow, wonderful! So, as you probably know, the year when right after you go to Israel, so you're like the firmest person ever, right? You're so religious now, like, you know, like become a Rebbetzin, you know, you got smicha already, right? You're a rabba, okay, great, right? And you know everything. Nobody knows more than you do. So it was my year after Israel, and like one of the greatest things, I don't know if you agree with me, but one of the greatest things, right, when you come home in June is you get to go to your high school and you get to show how, like, you know, I was able to go to all my rabbis and people. You see, you thought I was going to be frum. I'm not wearing a cross anymore. I'm like, I'm frum now. Like, I'm a religious. Just for the record, I went to Haftar, so it was a little different. Anyway, so one of my rabbis says to me, "You know what? I had come back for Pesach time." He goes, "You really could help me out. Would you mind speaking to my students? We have a lot of kids in 12th grade. They don't want to go to Israel for the year. Can you speak to them?" I'm like, "Of course I can. I'm basically a rabbi. Like, I mean, just Hagon Harab. It's coming soon." So I go in there and I'm like totally inspiring and amazing and a better Israel. And I was totally struck out. I mean, literally everybody's like making fun of me, like, "Shut up, you're a loser." It was like high school all over again. And I'm speaking and I'm like, and I'm not getting through to anyone. And I feel horrible. And the rabbi put his arm around me. He's like, "I'm sorry, you know, I don't feel bad. I also had no," and it was like, I went home and I just felt horrible. Fine. Fast forward about a year later. My parents don't let me go shun a bed. And I'm not bitter about that. And it's June's mom. So I'm sorry, January, they say, my parents say, "Okay, you can go. So I go to Israel for January. And I'm in the old city. And a guy comes up and he's like, excuse me? "Rabbi Hartstein, is that you?" I'm 19 years old. I'm not a rabbi yet. I'm kidding. And they come up and they say, "Do you remember me?" And I'm like, "Obviously I remember you. Just remind me your name and how I know you." And he's like, "My name is so-and-so." He's like, "You don't remember? You spoke to my senior class. You're the guy that convinced me to go to Israel for the year." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I was listening to everything you said. I was totally not going to Israel." Right? And now he's become a rabbi now because he's been there for 3 months. And he's like, "It's amazing." And I'm like, how did that just happen? And it may have been because he saw someone who was like him and said, "Wow, if he can do it." And that's what we are. I often say that it's often not the rabbis that are the ones that are going to change people. It's people like yourselves who they say, "Oh, you're much, that rabbi, I can never be like that. That's crazy. I can't be like that." But they can be like you. And that's the message of Tamidim. The message is, yes, Shema Yisrael is important, V'hatarecha, they're all important things. But being a day in and day out Jew and being consistent is so important. The Rambam calls it Tochel Gebara, where your insides and outsides are the same thing. You're a consistent person. You're not inconsistent. You're not a hypocrite. That becomes a game changer. And the bracha that I wish you is that you take this idea and understand the great weight of what you are able to do and being inspiring other people. And of course, you should continue to inspire yourself, because that's always a very important thing. And that summer should be about that. And you should take the opportunity that you have. There will be other much more normal speakers that will be here. You should take advantage of that and take advantage of your Rosh Kollel as well. And I wish you only the tremendous brachas, and I hope, Yemir Hashem, the bracha that I will receive is that I'll be invited back, maybe, because this is so close to me. I don't have to go all the way over there. And now my bike broke, so I really have nowhere to go. But thank you very much for letting me speak to you, and I wish you only continued success in inspiring yourself and inspiring other people.